We're going to be reading verses 1 through 4. While you're doing that, I want to announce, along with Brother Sapp again, concerning the General Conference, which is next week. And we have gotten with the school, and we are working on the process. As of right now, it appears to be an absolute thing that we'll be able to make it come to pass. And on Wednesday night, Pastor Jeff Arnold is going to be speaking at General Conference. And you probably, most of you have never heard him. We've had him here, I think, once or twice. He preached a rock for us a million years ago, a long time ago. And I think he might have ministered here, thank you, brother, one other time. He is a very unique preacher. God uses him tremendously in revelation. He preaches around the world and pastors a great church up in Gainesville. And you do not want to miss it. Now, he doesn't get on the floor until 8 p.m. So that's why we're starting service at 7:30 and not 7 for this one Wednesday night. I know that pushes things a little late. I called General Conference. They wouldn't change the time for our church. So we just have to stay with the 8 o'clock on the floor. So we'll start church at 7:30 so that we can have our normal praise and worship. And then we will put the live General Conference service. And it is the foreign missions, what's called global missions now. It is the global missions service on Wednesday night. Pastor, of course, will be in St. Louis at the time with the global missions division. So we'll be there involved, mixed up in around with the service. And we're excited about what the Lord's going to do. So we thought this would be a special treat. You can't afford to go to conference, so we're going to bring General Conference to you. Amen? Yeah. Amen. So we'll make the announcement Sunday, and hopefully many more of our people will make an extra effort to be here with us. We will have our invite cards here on Sunday. We finally got them printed. We've been waiting for these for a very long time, but they are nice, and we will have them here Sunday. They have all of our information on it. They fold up to the size of a business card. When you open it, they have the invite, service times, a map on the back, and then the front is a church for every nation. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. We want to say welcome to all of our guests. Thank you so much for coming, this precious gentleman to my right, this precious sister in the back here to my left, and also Leah, Lori's daughter, is with us here tonight. And if there's other guests that I have not recognized, please forgive me. We are certainly excited that you are with us. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, and at the entry of the city, at the coming in the doors," or in at the doors, "unto you, O men, I call." This is wisdom. In verse 4, wisdom is no longer being spoken about in the third person, but wisdom is speaking herself. Wisdom is referred to in the feminine, where am I looking for? Feminine noun, but there's a word I'm looking for, and it's just right out of my brain. But in verse 4, wisdom is speaking, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." I'm going to talk to us for a few minutes tonight in this teaching. Wisdom's plea to be heard. Wisdom wants you to hear her. She's got good things to say to you. And if you'll listen, she'll make your life a whole lot better. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon this service to touch our minds and hearts to hear the word of the Lord. Father, we come to you tonight. We're so grateful to be able to gather into the house of God to hear the word of God. We are so privileged. We are such a special people. We thank you for this great country that we live in, and we pray your blessings upon her. God, tonight, touch our minds and our hearts that we might hear the word of God and understand the word of God and receive the word into our hearts and leave this place tonight just a little wiser. Help us to learn to listen to wisdom, that our lives might be guided by you and taught by you. We pray it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shake your neighbor's hand and tell him you look a little wiser. And you should, because you've been reading a chapter out of Proverbs every day, right? Let me see your hands. Been doing it? The month of September is our... Yes, sweetie, that's good. That's good, yeah. I keep telling her, baby, you don't have to read Proverbs, just listen to me. Yeah, that's what she did, yeah. She just kind of laughed and went and got the Bible. The month of September is the month of intimacy in wisdom, or the wisdom of God. We have learned that, of course, all of the Word of God brings wisdom into our life. But the Lord sort of condensed his wisdom into this great book that we call Proverbs. So for the month of September, beginning September the 1st until now, and if you haven't been doing this, you only have 26 chapters to catch up and a few chapters to continue. But you'll be very wise on Thursday if you read those 26 chapters here tonight. But we've been doing one chapter a day because we're taking our time, we're looking at the chapter, and we are applying it to our life. Whether it is the oh me or the all right, I did that one. Most of it's the what? Oh me. When we get in the book and we read the wisdom of God and we see what he teaches us, we see the mistakes that we make, and we ask the Holy Ghost to help us to walk in the wisdom of the Lord. Now, this will be the last Wednesday night teaching, because we're going to be going into the month of October, of course, next Wednesday. And we will begin, it's going to be the month of intimacy in truth. And we are going to deal with basic truths of the Word of God. So we have learned some things. Our first Wednesday night, we taught about Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And we called it the foundation, or the purpose in which the book was written. And the Bible takes out the time in those verses to tell us that the purpose of writing the book of Proverbs was that you and I would know wisdom, and that you and I would receive instructions in our life to live. I said this last Wednesday, and I just think it's wise. I know that we all read the Bible every day, try to read several chapters, and read through the Bible every year to keep it familiar in our mind and in our spirit. But I think it would be a good thing if we would make it a habit every day to read at least one chapter out of the book of Proverbs, and then we could add to that a psalm, so that we have a psalm of praise and a proverb of wisdom. And if we'll continue to do that, you're going to look back in a few years, and you're going to see how the Word has changed your life and how you handle yourself, how you handle your temper and your how your personality has changed and how you handle your neighbor, how you handle situations differently in life, simply because we have continuously bathed our mind and our heart with the teachings of the Word of the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. And so the following Wednesday, we talked about the theme of Proverbs, which was the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. This fear here was not the fear of trembling. Paul the Apostle says to enter boldly into the presence of God. God doesn't want us to be afraid of Him, but He does want us to respect Him and His ways. And we talked about how that we can easily judge whether we truly do fear the Lord or honor or respect the Lord by simply looking at our life and how we live and the judgments that we make, the decisions that we make. Or are we considering the wisdom of God in our life every day? Are we allowing Him to lead us and guide us? If we honor and respect things, then we will give our attention to those things. And so this is how we can judge whether we are actually walking in the fear and admonition of the Lord in His knowledge and wisdom. Last Wednesday, we studied about seeking after wisdom. We found out that wisdom doesn't just simply come. You don't wake up wise. I know some of y'all probably pray that concerning your spouses, but you don't just wake up wise, but you have to work at the wisdom of God. We learned that. We found out in the Bible, in Proverbs, that we have to search for wisdom with diligence. We have to seek out the wisdom of God. And that in seeking out the wisdom of God, that there has to be a willingness in our heart. Because many of us know, well, all of us know, that there are times that the wisdom of God comes to us, but we're not willing to accept it. Because it affects our wants, our desires, our own lust in life. And so we refuse it, only to go down the road a little ways and find ourselves always saying, I wish I would have listened to the wisdom of God. And so we must be willing and we must engage. We found out in the second chapter of Proverbs last Wednesday that we must engage our ear to hear, our heart to receive, and our mouth to speak when it comes to the wisdom of God. We must hear His wisdom, receive His wisdom, and then we must speak His wisdom. We must speak it out. We studied about the benefits of the wisdom of God, the benefits of allowing the wisdom of God to come in to our life, and that allowing the wisdom to come into our life, that we would get great understanding, that we would have great discretion. Last Wednesday it was discretion, but this Wednesday it's discretion. That if we would allow the wisdom of God to come into our life, we would be delivered from the immoral man and woman by allowing wisdom to come into our life. God will help us keep our lives morally clean. And that is healthy for us spiritually and physically, as well as emotionally and mentally. When we let the wisdom of God come into our life, It enables us and strengthens us to live righteously in an untoward generation, or a generation which is going away from God. The wisdom of God will help us stay within the righteousness of God. So tonight, we're going to finish our study with the plea of wisdom, the cry of wisdom. The word of the Lord tells us in the scriptures that we read that wisdom cries out. She lifts up her voice. Now, most of us, from the pulpit to the back row, we have professionally learned, we have learned to professionally tune out the voice. But it doesn't mean he's not crying. You say, well, how can you do that? The same way, mama, when you're standing at the sink and you're washing the dishes, and little Johnny is pulling on the right side, and little Annie's pulling on the left, and they're both crying, mommy, mommy. Everyone in the house is being driven crazy by the cries, but mommy don't even hear them. She's just washing the dishes. Why? Learn how to tune it out. When my wife and I was evangelizing eons and eons ago, we went to this, not for her, she's not a day over 29, but years for me. My wife gets more gorgeous every day. And she's the only woman I know that gets more beautiful. I don't even know if it's safe saying the older she gets, but anyhow. And we were staying in this trailer, and we didn't know about it the first night. And about 3 a.m. in the morning, the trailer started shaking. And then we heard, woo, woo, right on the other side of the tree line with some train tracks, blowing the whistle because he was coming to an intersection. We set up in that bed, wide awake, what in the world is going on? But by the third night, never felt the trailer shake. Never heard the whistle blow. Why? Your mind is capable of tuning things out. Oh, I know that old voice. I've heard that voice before. And y'all spouses quit nudging one another. I'm not talking about tuning you wanted your husband or your spouse out. But we've learned how to tune God out. We've got to re-engage the ear, church. And we need to begin to say, Lord, help me to learn how to hear your voice again. Praise God. Because wisdom is crying out. It's not that the fact that we don't hear her doesn't mean that she's not crying to you. She is. And everything that you do, every decision that you make, everywheres that you go, wisdom is crying out to you. Let me help you. Let me guide you. Let me show you the way. We have to become more sensitive. So the Bible tells us the plea of wisdom. She cries out. She lifts up her voice. The next verse says, she lurks in every corner. She lurks in every area of your life. Listen to Pastor today. There is nowhere that you can go that wisdom is not there. There is no situation that you find yourself in that wisdom is not there, crying out to teach you, to help you, to walk with you. Wisdom is everywhere. The wisdom of God. And so she cries out. She's everywhere. Proverbs 7 and 12. You don't have that. Don't worry about it. Says, I'm going to the computer guy. Says, now is she without. Now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So in Proverbs 7:12, it tells us she is everywhere. On the top of the hill, beside the way, wherever your path may lead. Verse number 2 says, by the gates at the entry of the city. So God is trying to teach us something here. That wisdom wants to get in your life. Wisdom wants to hold your hand in everything. And how much better would many past circumstances have been? How many marriages would have stayed together? How many families would have held together if we just would have let wisdom hold our hand and put our pride aside, put our selfishness aside, and get the wisdom of God in our heart and listen to what she's got to say to us to bring healing to our spirit, healing to our marriage, healing to our children, healing to our relationships, that it may go on. He's in your gates. She's at the entry of your city. She's everywheres, and she wants to be heard. Verse 4 says, not only does she want to be heard, she wants to be heard by everybody. Oh men, she says, I'm calling to you. Sons of men, I'm calling to you. All generations, I'm speaking to you. I know our young people are out of the auditorium, but God wants to speak to our youth today. They're being bombarded by ungodly educational systems, being bombarded by perverted and ungodly movies. Even the clean ones are dirty. We have to be careful. We have to guard our minds. We have to let wisdom guide us and lead us. Our kids are being fed by a bunch of horrible things. But wisdom cries out to them. You don't have to be 100 years old to be wise. Everyone who listens to God can be wise. Wisdom desires to impart great things into your life. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 6. Hear, for I will speak of the excellent things. Everybody say excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. Say right things. For my mouth shall speak truth. Everyone say truth. And wickedness is in an abomination to my lips. In other words, wickedness is not there. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Verse 9, they are all plain. Everyone say wisdom is straightforward. People, God has really made this easy. We're the ones that complicate it. They are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver and knowledge, not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom wants to put good things in our life. Wisdom knows the excellent things of life. And wisdom will teach you what is wicked and what is righteous, what is excellent and what is defiled, and will show you the path and put these things on the inside of you. Wisdom said, I will put truth and righteousness into your heart if you will allow me to do so. And that the wisdom of God, as hard as this is for us to understand, or maybe we understand but difficult to receive, the wisdom of God is far beyond any diamond or any bar of gold that you could bring into your life. But if we would think about it for but a moment, wealth has never given peace to anyone. If you don't believe me, make your way amongst the wealthy. Listen to their conversations. Find out it's never enough. One man asked Howard Hughes, richest man that ever lived. They say Bill Gates is. Not if you compare inflation. If Howard Hughes lived today and had the same money he had back when he lived, and you inflate it to this day, he would be worth over $372 billion. He was the most wealthiest man that ever lived. Someone asked him, Howard, when is it enough? And he said, always, when it's just one more dollar. In other words, it's never enough. We all can look in our own hearts and our own minds. We're really never satisfied with the things of the world. Our flesh is never satisfied. It always wants more in areas. Only the peace of God, only the wisdom of God can bring peace to your heart. You can have these things and still have trouble. Wealthy people get in divorces just like poor people. And wealthy people have trouble just like poor people. Money doesn't save you. Money doesn't fix you. Neither does poverty. I'll say that one as well. But the wisdom of God will bring peace to your heart. And I'll tell you what wisdom will do for you. Wisdom will give you the ability to live in contentment in whatever situation you find yourself in. Wisdom will let you live in peace in that situation. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. The value of wisdom. And so we looked into here that wisdom has awesome and incredible, powerful things to put into our life. Wisdom wants to impart great things. There is a value in receiving wisdom. We look at what wisdom possesses. Look at verse 12 of chapter 8 of Proverbs. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way in the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Wisdom says, I am understanding. I have strength. So she started out to tell us, wisdom said that I am the one that dwells with prudence. What does that word mean? It has many meanings, but here it is focusing in on forethought, to have knowledge and discretion or tact. To have prudence in this case means to look ahead. Wisdom said, I'll come to you. I dwell in the foreknowledge of things. I will come to you and I will warn you of tomorrow. If you continue on this path or continue to do, this is what's going to happen. Wisdom said, I will help you in your direction. I will help you in your decisions on how they will affect you tomorrow by the decisions you make today. And I will give you the right direction and the right decisions to make so that your tomorrows will have the same peace that you have today in God. That's what wisdom will do for you. Wisdom dwells in the fear of the Lord, prompting her to hate pride and evil and the perverse mouth. When you get wisdom in you, wisdom will help you control your tongue. It will help you control your thoughts and your ways. We must remember God's objective in this world is to save a soul. And God forbid, even if I mean well, God forbid that my tongue would be an instrument to call someone to go away from God rather than bring them to God. Sometimes we mean well. We really do. But I want to tell the precious saints on the Wednesday night crowd, not everybody's living for God on your level. And not everybody is ready for your level. So stop trying to put your righteous living and your holiness into them and let God take care of it. God doesn't need you to go and give instructions. He'll give the instructions. You pray. You seek God. You be a friend. You be a help. You be an encouragement. All nine gifts of the Spirit, the Bible says, are for the edification of the church. The gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, discernment of spirits, all of these things that we want to take and go and correct somebody's life and tell them how to live, that is not their purpose. It is not their design. It is to help them, encourage them, uplift them. God will convict when the time is right. I've had to correct more messes by your self-righteousness, wounding precious children of God who are just trying to wrap their brain around this thing, trying to get a grip on what it means to live for God, wrap themselves around it. We need to learn to be careful when we approach people that we might offend. And make sure that we hear the wisdom of God and approach them with strength and love. The Lord will reveal things to you 99.9% of the time, not for you to say a word. He reveals so that you know where they are, so you can pray about it. But he expects you to go to them and put your arm around them and love them and speak confidence into them, strength into them, help, and just say, you can do it. You're going to make it. It's going to be okay. God's going to be with you. We're going to get through this. I want you to know I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're going to make it. Everybody say wisdom. I'm sorry I got off on that little side cart. Wisdom will help us. Wisdom sees the great and mighty things of God. And wisdom will give me and you wonderful things. Proverbs 8 and 15. Wisdom says, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me prince rules and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. You want to get rich? Get wise. I'm going to hold that one back. I'm going to use a little wisdom. Pastor's learning. So wisdom says, I hang around kings. I help them decide what they need to do. I hang around nobles, noblemen. And I give them strength in their heart to be noble. I hang around just men. And I help them to remain just. I give them the ability to rule and to be right. And this same wisdom that hangs around kings and nobles and princes says, if I'll seek her early, I'll find her. And I think in the eyes of God that if you let wisdom work in your life, you are a king. You are a prince. You are a noble. You are a justice. She said to all who love her, riches, honor, righteousness, justice, and wealth will become their possessions. I don't think here she's saying that if you get wisdom in your life, you're going to become rich. I think the Bible makes it pretty plain that when, in this case, when the Lord's talking about riches, he's talking about the riches of life. I've met poor people who were very wealthy in their heart and in their spirit and in their life. They were more fulfilled than the wealthiest people that I know in their life, satisfied in the Lord. Everybody say the possession of wisdom. The word of the Lord tells us that wisdom was with the Lord before creation. Verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, forever, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. At the beginning of his way, before his works, from everlasting to everlasting, wisdom has been a part of the ways of God. And if we will seek wisdom, it is God, and we know this, of course, even though the Bible is speaking of wisdom in a third person, we know that it is just speaking of an attribute of God. If we will seek the wisdom of God, he will lead us and guide us. This wisdom that was with God when he created the foundations of this earth. And the word says this wisdom that will be with God when everything comes to an end. The Lord says, I can possess this wisdom in my life. And there's nothing like the wisdom of God to bring peace into your heart. Because when you're making the right decisions, even though they're the hard decisions, even though they're the tough decisions, when you're making the right decisions, you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you go to sleep and the peace of God is on you. Amen. Verse 27 says, when he prepared the heavens, wisdom says, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, I was there. When he established the clouds above, wisdom saying, I was there. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep, I was there. When he gave to the sea his decree, I was there. That the water should not pass his commandment, wisdom saying, I was there. When he appointed the foundations of the earth, I was there. Then I was by him, verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily in his delight, rejoicing always before him. The word of the Lord is telling us that God never did anything without wisdom. Everything God did, he did in wisdom. And when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, he did it in his wisdom. The devil would like to tell you you're not going to make it. The devil would like to tell you you're not worth being here. I've come to tell you, when God called you out, he did it in his wisdom. He knows you've got everything it takes to make it. My Lord, have mercy. And if wisdom was with God in everything, wisdom will be with you in everything that you face and go through. The wisdom of God is with us. If we will open our ear and hear her cry, if we will listen. If we will listen. Let's stand, and I'm going to ask us to come down to the front. We're going to pray for just a few minutes. We're going to talk to God about helping us in wisdom. Verse 32 says, now therefore hearken unto me. Wisdom is speaking. O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Do you want to be blessed? Amen. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not, the word of the Lord says. And verse number 34 says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, seeking wisdom every day. And the gates in the Bible refer to the business of life. It's where the businesses took place and the commerce and the exchanging and all of these things took place. Decisions were made. Councilmen met. They did all of these things at the gates of the city. And wisdom said, when you come to the gate, seek me. Before you make your decisions of life, seek me. Before you make financial decisions, seek me. Before you do business decisions, seek me. Before you decide on different things, on what you may or may not purchase or do, seek God. Let him lead you. Let him show you. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with what you're going to purchase, but it might be the wrong one. But there's no way for you to know that. So God's Spirit can say no today, but say yes tomorrow. He can lead and guide and show us. Enter the gate of life with wisdom. So what we're going to pray tonight as a church and as an individual is that God will help us to open our ears again and hear wisdom. Because she cries. She cries out aloud. And she's in every corner of your life. Everywhere as you go, wisdom is there. Crying out, saying, let me help you. Let me teach you. Let me show you. So this is our prayer tonight. That God will help us not to tune out the voice of wisdom. Like we are so adequately able of doing. And to refocus our minds upon Him. And you, it happens, I know it happens probably to every one of you, but you'll just go to reach to do something and you'll just hear that voice speak into your life. It's the wisdom of God trying to lead, trying to guide. And one thing I've learned, if I don't know what God's saying, if I don't quite understand, I do nothing. I just do nothing. I stop. If I can't understand whether it's a yes or a no, I just stop until I can figure out what God. Because I have learned when I try to guess Him, I'm usually always wrong. Praise God. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord and thank Him for speaking to us tonight. Father, we thank You. Yes, Lord, we want to open our ears. We want to hear. We want to hear what thus saith the Word of God. We want to hear Your Spirit, Lord. We want to hear Your wisdom, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just go into prayer right now. Let's just go into prayer. Just begin to talk to the Lord about hearing Him. Oh God, Lord, we come to You tonight. We come to You as a church. Father, we stand before You. We humble ourselves. Oh God, we humble ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Forgive us of our arrogance. Our arrogance. To think, God, that we know what is right. We know better than You, better than Your eternal spirit. God, forgive us. Forgive us for not seeking after You. For not seeking after You in these decisions of our life. Especially the major decisions. Oh, God, have mercy upon us, Lord. Oh, Lord, You're so good. You're so good. You're so good. So many times, God, even when we did not seek Your wisdom, You intervened for us. Oh, Lord. Oh, sweet Jesus. How much better, how much easier. God, if we would just hear the voice. If we would just hear the voice of God, hear the wisdom of God. And do what is right, Lord, the first time. Sweet Jesus, in Your mighty name. Oh, help us, Lord. Let our ears be sensitive again. Let our hearts desire Your wisdom, oh God. Help us to seek after You. Seek after Your wisdom, Lord. Seek after Your ways, oh God. Oh, that we would yield our desires, our wants, our ambitions, Lord, our visions. We would yield them to You, yield them to Your wisdom, Your ways, Your knowledge. We would give them to You, Father. Cause our ears to be sensitive, oh Lord. Help us to hear, help us to hear. Help us to hear, oh God, when You speak. Put peace upon our heart, bring the peace of God into our lives. Lord, this comes through Your wisdom. Bring the peace of God upon our lives. Oh, that we will begin to do the things that You command, the things that You ask of us. They're only what is good for us. They are what is right for us, Lord. that we would yield to those things, Father. Yield to them, oh God. Help this church to walk in wisdom. Help us in our decisions, Lord, as a church. Help us to make the right decisions, Father, to do the right things, Lord. In your mighty, wonderful name, in your mighty, wonderful name, we love you, we praise you, we adore you.